Inside the Birds is back. What's going on, everybody? Jeff Mosher here and Adam Kaplan. We are doing our film review podcast that we always do on Wednesday morning during the season. The Eagles coming off a 40-33 win over the Green Bay Packers. That's right, 73 points, way over the 46.5. That was the over-under total for the game. And on the pregame show, most of us picked the under, not thinking anywhere near 73-point game. But there's a lot to get through, offense, defense, special teams that are not so special right now. We will get through all of that in this podcast. And, of course, on Friday, as we turn the page toward the Eagles matchup against the Titans, we'll have our game preview podcast. Adam and I will do Friday, and then on Sunday at a normal time. It feels like we haven't had a Sunday pregame show at 10 a.m. Too many times in the last 5 or 6 weeks, but we will be in our normal slot at Rivers Casino and Sportsbook, 10 a.m. to noon. Myself, Adam, Jason Avant, Greg Cosell, and then, of course, afterward, it'll be the postgame show with myself, Adam, and Trey Thomas. So pretty interesting week here. Before we, you know, just get into some things, I want to say this, Adam. I think you kind of agree with this, that there's sometimes you don't get a lot out of a Nick Sirianni press conference, but I do think he's authentic in his press conferences. We know that ever since day one.
Except injuries, but yeah.
But even with injuries, he tells you, I'm not going to tell you for competitive. He's not lying to you. He's just saying, I'm not going to tell you for competitive advantages.
Right, but every once in a while, he actually gives it out. It's just kind of funny.
Right. The point is he's not very disingenuous. And
no, he's authentic. Good call.
Yes. It stood out to me in the press conference when he was specifically asked about special teams issues that we'll get into, that he didn't beat around the bush. You know, like he recognizes that this is not acceptable to their standards, that even on a great season can be derailed in the playoffs by bad special teams, and that it's something that has to be fixed. And he started to go through all the different ways you can fix a special teams without him saying what he's going to do. But it's clear to me there'll be some changes upcoming on special teams that they think will try to help them in what they need to get done.
Yeah, and he hasn't eliminated, and good for the media to ask about this. I forget who asked it, but about using starters on special teams. Zach Berman. Yeah, they don't have a choice. They have to do something. It's a problem. It is a big reason why they gave up 33 points because of positioning where Green Bay, their average start would be. You only need fewer first downs. You're putting your defense in a bad way. It's totally not acceptable. It's got to be better. You know, technically, they have three special teams coaches, Joe Panunzio, who oversees the two younger coaches, and Tyler Brown, who handles the specialists, and then Michael Clay, who handles the coverages and sort of just to run the day-to-day operation. But look, it's not working right now, and it's the kickoff coverage has progressively gotten worse. The dam is broken. It's the number one issue. But look, this is a really good football team. Let's not say it. Look, the ton of positives.
Yes.
To come out of this game. In fact, that's really what should lead off the show is the ton of positives that came out. Definitely. The negatives, unfortunately, everybody sees. Fans are too smart. They know what's going on. But the positives are enormously big. I mean, it's the running game was ridiculous. It hurts. I got some really interesting numbers. We got some good stuff that, you know, you can't tell on TV so much from quarterback play. It's why anyone who evaluates off television for quarterbacks, I mean, I just wouldn't listen to it. It just, in terms of if you're going to make a hard judgment on quarterback play off of television, I mean, what are you looking at? You can't, we picked up some stuff.
Full angle.
Yeah, exactly. You need a full angle. There was something we picked up from someone who told us a couple weeks ago, and it came up again with Hurts, although Hurts was very good in terms of pass plays and where the ball's got to be. We'll get into that. But no, this team is really, really good. And it's, you and I were talking Tuesday night on the Fanatic. You know, I asked you, is the team much better than you thought? And I wanted to give them 14 wins for the season. I just didn't have the guts to say 14-3, although their schedule is as easy as we thought it would be. Although, of course, we didn't expect the Giants to be this good or Washington to turn their season around. But you know, overall, we expect the Eagles to be a top three, top four team. That's played out.
Yep.
But I just didn't think they could be so dominant at times on offense. It's simply been incredible to me. I don't know how to sum it up because it seems like there's something always good going on with the offense. Someone, even when they don't score as many points, something good happens. This game was just simply incredible with the run game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll get into all the great things that we saw offensively, and it's funny, I know you talk to some sources, I do too, and some of the baffling things maybe we saw from the Packers on defense that enabled the Eagles to have such a great offense. Before we get into that, to further hammer down the point, Q&A, their show is delayed today. It's also out today. They have some really good stuff also on the running offense for the Eagles, the run defense for the Eagles, the special teams breakdown. And so it's all from both those guys, Jason Avant and Quentin Michael, started their careers as special teams players too. So I think you get a really good, unique perspective from them. It's not like, you know, they were each 10-time All-Pros who never had to play on special teams or first-round picks. So you get a really good perspective from guys who had to work their way up through special teams. So make sure you check out Q&A. Our Patreon subscribers know that on Thursday, we're going to do our next Ask ITB live stream, Thursday at 9:30.
No, you mean tonight. No, it has to be tonight.
Oh, is it tonight? Wednesday? Oh, man, sorry. I'm getting my days mixed up. Yeah. Yes. It'll be tonight then. I mean,
double shot like, of us. Yeah, double
check,
shot.
Let me check my calendar and make sure I'm free. No, I'm just kidding. I'm fine. Yeah, tonight will be one. Also, if you want to be a part of our Patreon community, which is growing, it is patreon.com/insidethebirds. And I want to congratulate. We had the winner of our first big contest. So we were giving away a 3-month free subscription to our Patreon account. And I want to congratulate the winner. His name is Charles. He goes on Twitter by the handle @BeatBailey. And he is the first winner of our Patreon giveaway. So we're really excited for Charles. And we hope he sticks with us through the end and that he enjoys all the great content. Now, next month, what month are we in? Because we're coming up, in December, we'll have a fresh new set of bonus exclusive podcasts, right? We're going to try to get a former, we always say we will. We'll get a former GM, NFL general manager.
Yeah, we already got that nailed down.
Right. To do, as we continue our Chalk Talk series, and then we'll have yet another Ask ITB live stream. So there's a lot to look forward to with our Patreon subscription there. So again, it's patreon.com/insidethebirds. And again, big congratulations to Charles and a big thanks to Eddie again, Garcia, who came out and saw our pregame show a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah. Two things. So tonight. Yeah. Real quick. Tonight I've got my chat first from 8 to 8:30 PM Eastern. Then you and I are together
on Discord,
for a live stream. Right on Discord. Thank you. And then, we'll put the link on our Patreon page. So you just hit that. And then at 9:30 PM Eastern, we're doing our live stream. So we got a double shot, you and I, and it's good. Yep. It's great. Yeah. And I was looking at our Discord page on our channel, where the general area, and people, I love that people are, they're joining each other during the game. I did two games ago. I was not able to do it. The game against the Packers, but I am intending to. Using a Rick Spielman word, my phrase is intending to get in the chat. Rick used that for some. He's very. I love that. The buzzword for GMs when they're not rolling out trading someone, it's our intention to keep the player, but then they wind up trading him or whatever. I love that.
No, the one thing I noticed about our Discord server chat is that even if it's not us talking with people, that the actual discourse on it is really good. It's intelligent. It's people really, who know the game. So you don't get some of that stuff you see on other social media networks where it's people just screaming at each other, telling them they're morons and idiots and they don't know anything. So again, a big, big perk, I think, to being a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/insidethebirds.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's come through. Let's start off with some of the injuries, because this is it's like the second opponent for the Eagles each weekend. They are still without Dallas Goedert. So this Sunday against the Titans will be game 3 without Dallas Goedert, who's on IR with the shoulder injury. And depending on what time you listen to this podcast, today's Wednesday, there may or may not be information regarding the status of Jordan Davis, who's eligible to come off IR and to enter the 21-day practice window. But on Monday, Nick Sirianni was asked about it, and he did not specifically say that was going to happen. He sort of talked about the wonderful ability to have two extra days to decide what they want to do on that. That's maybe the only part of him that I find a little bit disingenuous. But again, he's just because he's not trying to give out personal injury information. Sure. But yeah, that'll be a big sort of determining factor for the Eagles here going forward on whether or not they're going to get Jordan Davis back.
Yeah, they're having a walkthrough only today. But if he was going to play, or at least you thought he had a chance to play, I would think he would participate today.
Mm-hmm.
For him to participate, you cannot participate in this. What team did I talk to? It was the Bucks when they Chris Godwin cannot participate in a walkthrough over the summer until he came off IR or whatever. He might have been on PUP. I can't remember. So Davis to participate in today's walkthrough must come off IR. He has to be put on designation for return.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and by the way, he could play this week. They have till Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern to activate him for that game. You know. Up to 2 years ago, they couldn't play the same week as they designated for return. You'd have to wait a couple weeks, but not anymore. And there's been some good, you know, it's unfortunate the pandemic and COVID and all that, but there's been some good things to happen. Expanded IR rules now, practice squad rules. It's a shame that that had to happen, pandemic mm-hmm. to happen for the NFL to get it right with this stuff, to expand right. and give players a better chance to play. And
right,
it's good. You know, it's good that they're doing this. And yeah, we'll see if Davis can play this week. You had that note, like, it was a while back, like 3 weeks ago, that it was the high ankle, but there's some other things he had to get over. So
yeah,
we'll see how he's – but you did hear, didn't you hear they were – you were going through some testing or something? What
I had heard was that he was on his normal rehab schedule. I didn't hear anything about setbacks. I didn't hear anything about not performing well. But as a couple of people I spoke to just in general about this injury told me, they would say, okay, that's good. You got to go through your schedule, see how you do along the way. You're tested different. You're tested weight bearing. You're tested non weight bearing. You're tested in different workouts. But for a person of his size to have a severe high ankle injury, even if you're passing through certain benchmarks and testing, it doesn't mean you're automatically going to be cleared after a certain time or that all of the healing has taken place. That's enough to get you to be healthy in quote unquote the time that they want you to be. So like, look at it this way. There are only two options here, right? You either activate him into your 21-day window or you, I guess, keep him on IR and then he's out for the rest of the year, right? There's no other options, correct?
No. Well, yes, but just
you can't go back on short.
No. What happened is it's just like you said that, but he wouldn't be out for the season. They just keep him on IR whenever they decide to designate him for return. They don't have to do it after 4 weeks. You do it whenever you think he's ready to start practicing.
I didn't realize. I thought that, okay, I'm sorry. I thought the 21-day window, I thought you either had to be activated in the 21-day window or you're on IR for, that's it. So
No. What happens is once you're in the window, you have 21 days. He gets
correct.
Then they have to make a decision. Either you activate him on the 21st day or he's done for the season. Here, after they've only done 4 weeks. He could just stay on IR for a couple more weeks.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I did not realize that. Yeah. All right. They changed the rules so much, I get confused.
Yeah,
so it'll be very interesting. So if they don't activate him into the 21-day window, it doesn't mean that he's out for the year. It just means he might need more time.
Another week, yeah.
They could activate him into the 21-day window, and as you're pointing out, it doesn't mean they'll feel he's ready for Tennessee. Yeah. They just might feel he's ready to start getting on the practice field, and then, you know, you hope that sometime in that 3 week span, you'll be able to get him on the field. So there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. And before we move on to Maddox, I guess he was seen on some of the reporters took video. I saw it. I wouldn't read much into it, but at least he was jogging back after they won the game. He was in street clothes and he jogged back, very light jog back to the locker room.
Right.
Don't want to read into that, but hey, at least you can do that. Okay. We'll see. By the way, that's probably the walkthrough pace.
Right.
The job.
Well, I wonder if they would even wait until Thursday to activate him instead of Wednesday, and since there's no need to get him out there for a walkthrough, I guess.
No, but that was my point earlier. Why would you wait? Because you want him to get in. You only have 3 days of practice. Well, actually, the way they're doing it this week, most weeks they don't practice on Wednesday. Just a couple times they practice on Wednesday. It's typically a jog through on Wednesday, but you'd want him if they think he's got a chance, get him acclimated to what the game plan is against Tennessee. We know what's coming. Derrick Henry, But I cannot wait to see when he's ready to go, whether it's this week or down the road, what the rotation will be. They will be so deep, a minimum of 60 tackles. So, I mean, I don't know that you would dress six. You probably would only dress five. Maybe Milt Williams would be the guy would not dress. But they'll have some kind of rotation here, man. It would be very interesting.
Can you imagine if they ever decided to play a front, and maybe this weekend would be the perfect time to do it, where you had Jordan Davis and Linval Joseph on the field at the same time?
Now, only one of them can play
the zero, but then you move the other two.
He played three.
Four-eye.
Jordan Davis played a little bit, as we understand it, a little bit of three technique this season.
Yes.
And that to me could be something next year, depending on whether Cox and Hargrave come back. One of them, you know, could come back, not both. But it's just fascinating to see what he can be able to do, because he's, for a guy as big as he is, when he's right physically, he could really move. It's just those super freak plays. You know, he shows up. For those of you who've been with us before, Davis had problems with stamina, and he can only play in spurts. Greg Cosell, I don't know who he speaks with, but he had said on our pregame show weeks ago that he had heard that they think that they know he's very limited in how many snaps he could play, or how many consecutive snaps, I should say.
Right.
And that will be the thing coming off this high ankle, what he really can and can't do when he comes back. Could he do everything? Or are they going to limit to 15 snaps? We don't know. But they also didn't have Sue and Joseph when he got hurt.
That's right. All right, moving on to Avante Maddox. It'll be the last game that Avante Maddox has to serve on IR, and then hopefully he'll get activated into the 21-day window the Wednesday after this Tennessee game, and he can go back to playing the slot where he has been playing and where Josiah Scott has been filling in. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, obviously a big deal. Safety is going to be out a little bit. The team has not come out and talked about how long he'll be out. But, Adam, we know it's lacerated kidney and then something else going on.
Yeah, so it's – I don't want to say it was similar to Zach Ertz's, because I don't know the degree of tear.
Right.
So, on Zach, I went back to my notes based on what we'd reported at the time in 2019. It's the 2019 season. It took me like 20 minutes to find this email I must have sent to you. So it was because we were breaking down what we had heard.
Right.
And the source we spoke with deemed it a minor laceration. One was kidney, and one fractured rib. And there was a lot of reporting. One report, we're not gonna nail the reporter, said he was probably gonna be out for the season, which obviously turned out not to be true. Mm-hmm. If you recall, I think you actually remind me of this on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was the end of the season anyway. It was week 16 that he suffered it. But yeah.
Against Dallas, right. But what you had said, and I forgot about this, that there was a kind of shock that he was gonna play after missing just 1 week.
Right.
Like, this is not a first of all, when you have surgery, it's a minimum of 4 to 6 weeks when you have to repair it. And it was shocking that he played. He played against Seattle. That's actually when Wentz got knocked out. But he got hurt against Dallas, didn't play in week 17. And with one cracked rib and a small, very tiny, almost like a spot, we were told by someone who had direct knowledge of it. He still played, and he had a couple catches against Seattle. Now, with Gardner-Johnson, we don't know. We've not heard that it's fractured. There's something going on with the rib, because if you remember, the Eagles said it was a rib injury during the game.
Right.
And then the testing showed Monday showed the lacerated kidney. So that he's week to week. They don't. We'll see. Now, obviously, if he goes on IR, they think it's significant enough that he's going to miss 4 games. The IR rule's not weeks, it's games. And that would take him to week 17, so we'll have to see what happens. But it's the Reed Blankenship show until he returns for right now.
Who's not excited about the Reed Blankenship show?
Hey! I tell you what, we have a very good scouting report on him. He played really well. Look, he wasn't perfect. He was in on a couple big plays, but he also for the offense, but he also made some really nice plays, including the one where he baited Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk more about that when we get to the defensive tape. But that was quite a play, man. That was pretty good.
All right. The only other injuries, and again, we'll get more on C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but We know he ain't playing this week.
Yep.
Against the Titans. So the other one, Patrick Johnson, I believe, had an ankle injury and came out.
Correct.
We'll have to see the status on him. Well, I don't want to say it's minor because I believe Patrick Johnson does play on special teams, and special teams has not been great. So, yeah, he plays a ton of special teams. So that's not the area you want to start losing, guys. I mean, you already have special teamers in general, like Reed Blankenship and Josiah Scott, who would be adding. They're not playing as much special teams now because they're starters, essentially. So that's why Nick Sirianni said what he said about having to figure out something to do to improve their kickoff coverage units. All right, we'll get into the intel in a second. I want to tell everybody again, as we always do, about our friends at Mojo. They're the building the sports stock market. They allow you to invest, not in Fortune 500 companies, but your favorite NFL players. That's what you know the best. That's where you have the best sports knowledge. So you might as well test it and then turn that knowledge into money, because you can get shares in players that entitle you to a guaranteed payout based on career ending stats. There's no off days. There's no off season. Anything can happen to a player in, you know, non-NFL months, in May or June. It could be a trade, could be an accident, an injury, or something that impacts a player's career ending projections. So that will impact that player's stock. You can build an entire portfolio. That's what I love about it. You don't have any worry about opponents, right? You just build a portfolio of players that you like to buy and trade on your own terms. Play every game or every season. And I love their multiplier tab that allows you to increase your investment by 5, 10, 15%, however you click on it, if you're willing to take that risk, which I think is good, because you could also lose 5, 10, or 15% if that player stock goes down. Remember, it's 300 skill position players, talking about quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and it's on Mojo, which is available in New Jersey on iOS, and just by downloading the app, you have a chance to win up to $10,000 in free shares of player stock. Just click the link in the description box of either this YouTube video or podcast that you're listening to for a chance to win up to $10,000 in free shares of player stock. Got to be 21 and physically located in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. And if you have a gambling problem, help's available at 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's for our Mojo guys first. I have to ask you about this kid. This jumped out at me on Mojo, Adam, because he's a former Eagle. He's up 15.24% after having four catches for 55 yards. That was a career day for this wide receiver who used to play for the Eagles. I'm speaking about?
Yes. You do? You know why I know? Because I was so mad that DeAndre Carter got that.
Uh-huh.
Am I right?
No.
Oh, I'm not. Okay, because DeAndre Carter had a good game for the Chargers, and I had Josh Palmer. I was so mad. I was like, come on, this has got to go to Josh Palmer. But anyway, go ahead. Who is it? I have no idea.
It is River Craycraft.
Craycraft. He scored early. He's with the Dolphins still, right?
Yes, with the Dolphins now.
What a name.
Love that. That's why it jumped out at me. I was like, whoa, River Craycraft.
Really?
Yes. 4 for 55.
Oh.
Now, he's getting more time in this offense, apparently. Now, did Trent Sherfield get hurt? Is that why?
No, he played.
Or is he just earning it?
No, this game was a blowout, and they probably played the backups. Remember, they were up 30-0 over Houston.
Right.
They pulled two in the, like, maybe late third, early fourth quarter. And the Houston scored 15. I don't know if Tua came back, but I remember the announcer saying, well, they might have to put Tua in. Now they're only up by 15.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That killed my other fantasy team, by the way, because they pulled them out so early. All right, there's another quarterback. I'll have you guess, and I don't think it'll take you very long. His stock went up 29.29%, which is huge for a quarterback. He went 22 of 28 for 315 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Who could only raise his stock that much by throwing for 315 yards and three touchdowns?
Mac Jones? I have no idea.
No. I thought you were going to get this immediately. Wow. Mike White, my friend.
Mike White.
And starting Jets quarterback.
Ready for this one? Literally 5 minutes before the game, because it was raining at MetLife Stadium. Now the guy I picked up didn't do badly, but I'm in a league where you can start two quarterbacks or super flex. So I picked up Sam Darnold, who didn't do badly. I think he had two touchdowns, but
right.
And I wound up winning that game, but I'm like shaking my head. I'm like, you got to be kidding me with Mike White. He is super streaky for fantasy. Now, he'd be good for Mojo because he came out of nowhere. Now, he did this last year. He had a great game against Cincy, then got hurt in a terrible game where he had four picks, but he's a super aggressive thrower, and that helps. A guy like Elijah Moore He might be a player now for Mojo, folks.
There you go. Good job. And by the way, River Craycraft, the guy you saw, DeAndre Carter, was up 6% too. Now, guys who fell, this is a perfect illustration. It's not always about talent. It's about circumstance. Down 11.78 because he's now out for the year. Nice wide receiver for Chicago Bears.
Oh, Darnell Mooney. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Not good. Now, maybe you think, again, this is based on career-ending projections. Maybe you've seen how good that the quarterback has been Fields has been playing lately, right? And maybe you know Mooney will come back strong next year, and you think, all right, he's down 11.7. I'll buy him now and just stash him and hope that next year he's back on track and does a good job for me. Then all of a sudden the share prices go back up. But right now it is down. And Allen Robinson, another wide receiver, down 7.30% because – well, he's also out for the year. He needs foot surgery.
And he broke his foot. Yeah, and he did not play well before he got hurt. And there's another guy. The Eagles, they were on him. They made him an offer. The Rams blew them out of the water. And it's probably a good fact, not probably. It's a great thing that they didn't get Allen Robinson. Always been a favorite player of mine, but he just is not the same player. Bears didn't want him back. And it's amazing sometimes. You get lucky. Certain things don't. You know, Marcus Williams, who wound up breaking his wrist.
Yep.
He's back now with Baltimore, but CJ Gardner-Johnson unfortunately is hurt. I'd rather have him only because there's certain things he can do that I don't think Williams is good at.
What if the Eagles had Marcus Williams instead of Gardner-Johnson, Byron Jones instead of Darius Slay? Well, I'm not going to use the Falcons receiver who got traded to Jacksonville because they
Calvin Ridley.
But what if they have Allen Robinson instead of AJ Brown? And what if they were coached by Lincoln Riley instead of Nick Sirianni?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
a whole bunch of what ifs, right?
The luck of the draw, so to speak. And it's just sometimes it's like the 17 season. Just about every transaction worked out. It's just there's certainly luck involved because there's some things you're not going to know about a player. Mm-hmm. But it's when you do good scouting, more often than not you'll get it right. And you look at the 21 draft, which looks very promising, and the 22 draft, just based on early returns, looking promising. This is why they're as good as they are.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let us move on. We will talk about the Eagles. Let's get into I like how you said it. This was such a good win for them. Let's talk about all the good stuff, the positive stuff. And it all begins with Jalen Hurts, who was fantastic in the game as a runner, as a pass. Even though the passing numbers aren't gaudy, I still think he was. That throw he made to Quez Watkins was a damn beautiful throw. Just a damn beautiful throw. He's become one of the best deep passers in the league. We keep saying that last few weeks, and it's true. He throws a beautiful deep ball.
So here are the numbers. He's tied for tied for fifth in completed passes over 20 yards, third in throws over 40 yards, tied for fifth in throws over 30 yards. Every metric you look for. Now, this is typical of running quarterbacks. Josh Allen's going through this. Lamar Jackson, Hurts. If you look at the most blitz quarterbacks, it's all guys who could run. Hurts has been blitzed the third most, 117 times, tied with Josh Allen. And by the way, it's been like this. Him and Allen have been blitzed a lot all season.
Yep.
It's just because they want to get to you before you can break the pocket. They want you to make a mistake. And it's not working, folks. Hurts is one of the best passers against the blitz, by the way. It's one of the most remarkable stories. You know, I remember last year. Go back to last year. You and I were debating what Hurts could be. And even when he was struggling, I said, I still see enough. If everything works out, he could be like a Kirk Cousins type. Upper half, top 15, top 16, maybe top 10 to top 12.
Right.
Because you see some things he can do. Even when he was not playing well, I'm like, I'm seeing some things here. Mm-hmm. We'll see what could happen if they make the jump. And what we wanted to see is what would happen if the Eagles will bring him back as a starter. Because there were still some questions whether they bring him back as a starter. if they gave him some help, and they gave him some help. Best offensive line of football, super coachable,
yes,
super tough. As John DeFilippo told me a couple weeks ago, I asked John about what he remembers from Hurts. He said one of the reasons why I really liked him is how tough he was on the Oklahoma tape. Is he got hit a lot and he got up and he kept going. He says that's showing toughness in the pocket, and toughness when you're getting hit is really, really mm-hmm. important to know about how tough a quarterback is. And we know how solidly Hurts is built, but being super coachable. And this guy, I mean, he's made one of the all-time jumps. And you and I vote in some polls. I vote in the Pro Football Writers Association one more. I don't know to make him. He's certainly high up the running for the MVP, but he's been so improved. I don't know which poll, like, do I give him most improved over Geno Smith? I don't know what to do. I'm like,
that's a good point.
I don't know what to do.
Because if you wanted to give MVP, well, listen, we got 7 more weeks to figure this thing out, right? Let's say you had to vote today, though. If you wanted to give MVP to Patrick Mahomes,
that's
deservedly so.
Yeah,
I think you would have to give Jalen Hurts most improved player and just say, sorry, Gino, like you're losing out to 2 really good quarterbacks here.
Honestly,
right?
I got to break down the numbers. This would be, I know the NFL is not as numbers based as Major League Baseball, but to vote for something, this is so tough for most improved between Hurts and Geno Smith. You got to understand, Geno Smith was, I mean, he had really,
yeah, I know. He can't. You're talking about from the dregs here, the bottom of the barrel. I get it.
Quarterback. It's one of the most remarkable stories. I mean, I'd have to really look at it. I just cannot believe how good he's been. But Hurts's jump has been remarkable. And by the way, Seahawks have a really good receiver core. They've improved their offensive line. It's not like he's not worked with really good talent. This Hurts jump. And the thing is, I don't see him because he's gotten rid of a lot of bad habits, and let's get into this game. Mm-hmm. He ran, sure. There were some plays where they were not designed to run. Now, the QB draws were beautifully designed and perfect. There mm-hmm. were some times that he ran early in the game, first half of the first quarter, which were not designed runs. I think he saw the formation and said, oh, my goodness gracious, I'm going to go here because there's so much room for me to run.
Right.
And he did that, and he picks and chooses his runs this time to bail. And I how could you question it? He was so dynamic in this game. His juke moves, he'd go right. It looks like they got him, he goes to the left, and they leaves him in the dust, make these unblocked defenders move. That the key to a great runner is to make unblocked defenders miss. This is one of his best games as a professional running the football.
Yeah, the spatial awareness that he shows when running the ball, it's really difficult because you got guys coming at you from different angles, as AJ Brown is, you know, finding out.
He doesn't see it, unfortunately, sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Hurts sees it and he just knows. He has a great sense about him. Incredible. And getting back to the deep ball, one of the reasons why he's been so great at throwing the deep ball this year as opposed to last year, and we were told this, you know, quite a bit last year, is that on a lot of it goes back to the arm. He does not have the most elite arm, but you don't need one. You just need to be able to throw with your feet set, right? He has a good enough arm and with the right mechanics. He's not running a lot while he's making these throws downfield. He's getting a nice pocket. He's been decisive. So his feet are set and his arms don't go up and then drop. He has the right form to make the throw and the feet are in the right place. And that's a really big part. He must have worked so hard on that in the offseason because he's been doing it since day one. It's probably since OTAs and training camp. So big, big credit to him for that.
Yeah, we know that he's worked with it might have been Adam Dedeau with Tom House. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that's who it was.
I mean, I've been covering this guy Dedeau like 10 years with Tom House, but you might remember Tom House, folks who are over 50 like me, who caught the Hank Aaron ball, the 714 in the Braves bullpen. Mm-hmm. But it's just so you know, to even if these guys, the quarterbacks work with quarterback coaches away from the team who are not affiliated with the team, they're always in contact with – they cannot give them things that they're not taught because you can't have them doing things that are not in unison with their coaches on the NFL level. So you got – that stuff, from what I'm told, is kind of overrated. Mm-hmm. But what it is you get someone – because you can't – the coaches are not allowed to coach them in the offseason. So they go with instructions. They'll give – what it'll do is the quarterback – like Brian Johnson will – or Sirianni or the OC, Steichen, will give them stuff to work on in the offseason, and then these guys could work on them for it because they're not allowed to coach them because of the rules. So, no, it's working. You're right. And the good thing is because he had issues with, because he's an over-the-top thrower. He had some issues when he came to the National Football League, year one in a big way. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they changed coaching staff, so you were worried about that. But you saw some improvement as the season went along. But because he was so inconsistent, you just didn't know. And on your point, he had such a good offseason. And when we were putting stuff on our show in the spring, you were hearing such great stuff. I'm like, oh, here we go again. We're going to wind up being wrong. We're going to say he's doing well. And he doesn't do well. But this is one of the times when we've done the show for 5 years that the quarterback really continued to be great in terms of the offseason, carrying it over. And to the point, you're like, what's next for him as a passer? Like, what else does he have to improve on?
Yeah. Now, to the counter, there are two people I spoke to, saw the game and tape, and I think this is going to be right up your alley for what you've been saying since the end of the game, there were a lot of questions on what the actual game plan from Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry was. I mean, the Eagles did, from a running game standpoint, they did some intricate things. They did a lot more tackle traps, which is, you know, having either Lane Johnson or Jordan Mailata kind of pull up the A gap there, right up the middle, and have the running game follow it, or design a misdirection after that succeeding. Then you have the running play go the opposite way of the puller. So you got to credit Jeff Stoutland and the offensive staff for having that ingenuity about them. A couple of times putting the running back in motion to get a guy out of the box to make the numbers work. But, like, you know, that's stuff that the Packers, the Eagles are not the only team who have ever done this, and the Packers sure treated it like it's the first time they've seen it.
Yeah, it was Quez again. Watkins is their pre-snap motion receiver. You see him do it a lot. When he does it, they seems to do it like 8 or 9 times a game. But I don't know if it really. I don't think Watkins in pre-snap motion mattered as much. But the thing is, when he's on the field, because he's one of the most. I mean, elite. He's one of the best deep threats of the NFL right now. I know he doesn't command the ball a ton, but when he's on the field, he's dangerous. When they get Goddard back late this season and throughout the playoffs, this is going to be interesting to see what their approach is, because they're starting to trust Quez more. That's part of this is Hurts.
Yeah.
Hurts is – because if you recall, Wentz did not trust Mac Collins at all. Remember, he just was not getting the ball at all. Mac always
run. I remember that. Yeah, it's funny because Derek Carr trusts him.
Derek, he's the designated deep threat. He's had a career year here. It's unbelievable. He's not just a special teams player anymore. So Hurts is really trusting his pass targets. I know the one thing I mentioned to start the show, he still has a tendency to not put it in front of the pit. Like the pass over the middle to Brown, which he caught. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what time of the game, and I haven't seen the play. I was told this. Brown had to stop and get it. Then he ran. You got to get it in front of the pass target. Keep him going forward. Geno Smith, by the way, is doing a great job of this with DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
He's accurate, and Geno's got a really good arm. He's making him go get the football. That's the one area I'm told repeatedly this season. He's just might be 2 or 3 throws per game, but you know how much rack yards there's no way to know exactly how much he's leaving on the table. Mm-hmm. But he's still got to do it. Now, there are times when you don't want to do it because the safety might take the guy's head off.
Sure.
But when you see the spacing, make sure you got to process a little better. But that's really the only thing now. It's hard to criticize the guy. He's just playing elite level.
Absolutely. We talked about AJ Brown. Obviously, the ball security needs to be tightened up there. You can say he apparently was very, very sick the week leading up. He lost a lot of weight. He had a bloodshot eye. So, I'll credit him for at least going and playing in the game. Yeah. I thought DeVonta Smith was really tough in the game. Go ahead.
I know we didn't. I'm sure we didn't talk to the same people. I'm almost certain of it. But that's in the notes that one of the people gave me. He goes most physical game of the year in run game, playing through contact. Wait till we got some great stuff with Miles Sanders. We got that stuff. Hurts with Watkins. Coaches calling his name more. Yes, he played through contact. It wasn't like he put up big numbers. But for a guy who's skinny as he is, skinny Batman, whatever they call him, he's as skinny as – not quite as skinny, but close to what Deshaun was when he was drafted. Deshaun put bulked up in his last 4 to 5 years. But that's something, by the way, over time, I'm interested to see what – we'll have to check in us what they – if they think Smith could put on like, you know, 5 to 8 pounds of muscle or, you know, put on more bulk, who knows? But
sure,
he definitely played physical. And that, that was pretty much it. And they blocked really well for the run game. This is probably their best game. It takes a village, as they say, for the offensive line, which was dominant, as you said earlier, and I agree from who I talked to. The Packers helped them out a little bit by terrible gap control, lunging at tackles, yes. Terrible wrapping up, yeah. Embarrassing. But you also have to block well for the run game. Totally, Jeff Stoutland's a run game designer with Jamal Singleton, doing a phenomenal job working together. That takes, we don't talk about that much, but they're all working well together. And Stoutland University, I love when Jordan Mailata, by the way, I can't say this enough, and I've gotten this one right. It's Mailata, it's not Mailata, for people who say that. Never been Mailata.
It's Mailata.
It's Mailata, in fact. He said, I love the way that Jordan said it. He said, Jordan Mailata. And he said, Stoutland University, if he saw the tape on the TV copy, because yes. They introduced the players on TV. I love that. That was great.
Yeah. Jordan Mailata, right. By the way, we should mention, the Eagles, from a schematic standpoint, played more 12 personnel than we both anticipated they would, because they did have Grant Calca. Is it Calcaterra or Calcaterra?
No, Calcaterra.
I thought it was Calcaterra.
It's Calcaterra.
All right, so we'll it was Greg. Greg so is all right. Right. Yeah.
It's Calcaterra.
Yeah. Greg Calcaterra played more than I thought. He didn't play a ton, but they did play more 12 personnel than I anticipated.
Yeah, in fact,
Tyree Jackson was also out there.
I'm sorry?
Tyree Jackson at
a little bit, point like, was like out four there. Or five snaps. But no, right. what Avon said in our pregame, prior to this game, the tell was Calcaterra on the field. Like, he's pretty much only going to go. If he's on there, he's going to run a route. But no, they had him block. That's what they have to do to make this work. You can't just have the guy on the field. Because this was the knock on Ertz in 2013 when he was drafted. Because Zach just could not. I mean, he just, not that he ever became a good blocker, but he obviously worked on it very hard. Mm-hmm. And he stopped being a liability over time in the run game. It's like with Calcaterra, because he's a smaller 6'3", 6'3.5 guy. Mm-hmm. When I saw him at the Senior Bowl, I'm like, he had a good week. But you were worried because he's just not built. And that's it's interesting that they did that. I'm fascinated to see what they do against this front. We got, by the way, you alluded to it earlier. We have already got great sourcing on our Titan stuff.
Oh, yeah.
For Friday's show, wait to hear this stuff, where we're holding. But it's I don't know how they're going to do this. That they got the nastiest front, man, that they're going to face all year. I'm telling you. I know Dallas's front's really good. But the Tennessee's front is unbelievably physically tough. This is going to be a really interesting challenge for this offensive line and their tight ends.
Well, I'm glad that's a good segue to the last thing I wanted to mention on offense was, and I said this in the post-game show, that game, the Eagles-Packers game, I thought almost all the players who were playing in that game on both sides were very physical, whether catching the ball and trying to get extra yards or running the ball and fighting through contact. And I'm including guys like, Dylan and Aaron Jones for the Packers. I thought they were played very physical. But Miles Sanders, the same thing. I mean, you can make the argument, and it's fair, it's fine to say that the threat of Jalen Hurts running helps Miles Sanders. But if anybody with two eyes watching Miles Sanders play in this game knows that whatever he's getting because of either a great offensive line play or the threat of Jalen Hurts, he's also running through contact. He's maintaining his balance. He doesn't go down right on the first hit. He's trying sometimes, and I get worried that he's going to put the ball on the ground because he's trying to spin through some tackles. He's running really hard this year, and we've been saying this about Miles Sanders going back to last year, but I hope people see it now that he's really running tough.
Yeah, so what Cosell has done this repeatedly. He said the people who think that he was dancing was they don't know. He was really upset. It like bothered him that because these guys aren't watching tape. Greg would say no, he's not. He's never done that. What I had heard was, just as an adjunct to that, is let's say the play is designed to go to the A gap. He would go to the A gap, but then try to break it long to go to the B gap.
Right.
In previous years, that's not dancing. What that is he's trying to get to the second level, going through to another gap to break it long.
Right.
That's been his mindset since his days in college. So what he's doing now is he's extending the A gap. He'll go there where it's designed. And as you just said, and it's in our notes here, he's trying to burrow through or make a little spin move, but stay in that gap where it's blocked. And that is just really smart football. And he's learned, and Jamal Singleton's doing a great job with him. And then Kenny Gainwell played a ton. Now, I don't know if it's because they were running so much. Sanders still had over 20 rushes, but because they were just annihilating him on the run, did they just decide to have this heavy rotation? And by the way, Boston Scott ran well too. This was...
I don't think they want to give Miles Sanders more than 21 carries in a game.
A lot.
You know, yeah, I think his highest is 24, right? If I'm not mistaken. And yeah.
But he's just been really good. It's just crazy that a guy didn't score a touchdown last season. If he plays even 16 games, he's probably going to have 12 to 14 touchdowns. Like, who knows? This season has been so bizarre to me.
Yep.
And another nugget for you. Highest average per carry in the National Football League history, I believe, at 4.5 yards per carry on average for all 32 teams. Why?
Mm-hmm.
As Greg Roman said, he said teams are playing so much too deep coverage and going with – and he also said – I mentioned this before, I think, like 3 or 4 weeks ago. He called a Fangio defense. He said so many people are playing the Fangio scheme, too deep coverage. They're like, you're not throwing over our heads.
Right.
Go run the football. Well, they're running the football, and they're running it well, most teams.
They are. All right, that'll tie it up for the offense. A lot of really good things happening there. We'll get to the defense in a second. Want to remind everybody to check out our friends at phlsportsnation.com. They're enhancing the fans' experience with their coverage of all Philadelphia sports teams. For the fan, by the fan is their motto, so make sure you check them out at phlsportsnation.com and on Twitter at @phlsportsnation. Let's pause real quick for another word from our great sponsors, including our friends at Sky Motor Cars.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Sky Motor Cars in Westchester is a different sort of dealership. All it takes is one look at their Highline pre-owned vehicles that people all over the country want and need. Owner Brett Schulder, make sure you don't spend a dime of your money before you purchase the car. Sky Motor Cars allows you to make all the decisions regarding your next vehicle. At Sky Motor Cars, you never have to spend more than necessary. Visit skymotorcars.com today or call 610-918-7225.
And if you go out there to Sky Motor Cars in Westchester, PA, make sure you tell them Adam and Jeff sent you. You will get a great deal. If you can't get in there, just visit them at skymotorcars.com.
By the way, this is the best time of year to buy a car. I'm telling you.
Holidays.
If you want to buy a car, you know, or sell a car. I was saying buying a used car. They're good deals. But selling a car, best in our lifetime, still is. I actually sold cars to Sky over the years, bought two through them. And remember, Christmas is coming up. And as you've said many times when we talked about Sky, they ship all across the country. Mm-hmm. They deal with a lot of NFL players, Landon Dickerson, N'Kobe Dean, Avante Maddox is a great new ad with Sky with Mark Farzetta. So, yeah, it's great. And they're so great to deal with. In fact, they're in Westchester right off to it, too. I owe them a visit. I'm going to visit them soon and see what – I may actually be selling a car through them soon.
Oh, nice. You'll have to keep us updated on that. Yep. All right. The Eagles had a couple of guys who were selling cars a few weeks ago, and now they're playing on the defense. No, I'm just kidding. that could have been a Linval Joseph and Domikong Sue joke. But all right, so the results in run defense were not as great as they were the week before. What do we have on Linval Joseph? I mean, he clearly you mentioned after the game or at some point where you felt he was getting stood up at times, which is, you know, the cardinal sin for especially a zero technique.
See, I didn't ask this because I wasn't sure if he got combo blocked. I'm not sure. He did not play as well. He did not move as well. I don't know exactly what happened. We're going to follow up, and we'll ask Cosell, too. Well, it'll be in our notes for Sunday anyway, see what Greg says. But there's one person specifically I need to talk to who is already – I know – look at – because they're playing Eagles soon, so I want to know what he thought of Joseph. Well, he told me through text Joseph did not play nearly as well. He was kind of shocked at how well he played against Indy. He couldn't believe it. Because he said, man, if this continues to happen, these guys are continuing to come off the couch. But Fletcher Cox was the story. It wasn't just – because I think sometimes these coaches for the Eagles, and they're not the only ones who do it, they want to build up a guy's confidence. Oh, yeah, he played great, and sometimes it's really not the truth. Cox's energy is probably the first game this season where, you know how, like, he'll make flash plays and, you know, people will put it on Twitter and, oh, it looks amazing and all that. But he played very hard, and his energy was up for most of the game.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I think Avant's right when he said 2 weeks ago, he goes, you watch. This is going to motivate these two veterans signing who are I think they're probably older than Fletcher. In fact, they have.
Uh-huh.
He was right. Something is going on with Cox with the energy. I know he's making 15 mil, but that's not the point. The point is when two guys are brought in here, like Avant said, it was almost like he would take it to be insulting. I think Jason said that.
Yeah, like kind of a smack in the face, like a wake up. Like, hey,
he nailed it. He absolutely nailed it.
And now you got to it. Yeah. Yeah,
because
yeah.
What happened? Quite frankly, if he has a game where he's not playing well, would it shock you if they pulled him and put Sue in?
No. Although after this past game, you know, one of our sources said that if you watch Ndamukong Suh play in that game, that there was a lot left on the bone. There was a lot to be desired. It was not like his first game at all. And so Fletcher Cox, I think it probably. What stood out is that Cox played with energy. Cox played with desire. Yep. Yeah, there were times they got caught in really, it is gap control. But obviously, I thought the bigger runs against them came when they were in their nickel formations, which is not their five-man front.
Their four-man,
their nickel formations are their four-man front. Or some of them were in the 5-1 look, where it's sort of like a one linebacker defense, and that's not a good – as the source told me, that's really not a good plan for this Eagles defense against teams that want to run the ball with big, powerful guys like Jones, Dillon, or even this week against Derrick Henry.
But
Sue did not have the type of game that they, you know, that you saw the 2 weeks before.
I also think because he's new to this defense, I know he played in it with the Rams, mm-hmm. sort of very similar with the Rams, but you can't expect that he's going to be in not just, it's not about game shape. It's just about getting the defense down. Right away, there are going to be some rough spots for both of these guys. It's just because they're new to this.
Right.
They're new to the team and the way that they're coached. So they have to just go through it. Also, we talked about this in pregame. I brought it up. Be careful with Jones in the pass game, and he got him. In fact, they got him. Jones got them on that beautifully designed screen to the left, and then the next play, Dillon scored wide on the four-man front. They got him on the four-man front.
Right. That was sequencing, right? That's what we talk about because they null huddled. What they did was they came out in what looked like a passing kind of formation, but they did have Jones on the field, right? And they threw him, as you mentioned, I think it was a swing pass or it might've been a screen either way. They threw it, but it was more like a run because they were using Jones, and then they null huddled and then caught the Eagles in their nickel four down lineman look, and that enabled them to get some double teams up front on the run and sprung Dillon. Now that's not an excuse. Just because you're in a four-man front and you're in nickel doesn't mean you just give up, what was it, a 20 something yard touchdown run, or I forget how long
something like
it
that.
Was
right.
And it was a 20 yard touchdown run. That there's still issues here, but that was good sequencing by the Packers. I'll give them that.
Okay, a couple things. Yeah, so Milt Williams got gashed. It happened. He's not a run game guy.
Yeah.
He's more of a three technique who could play Deanna if you need him to. Mm-hmm. Remember, he has the shorter arms. You're worried about this. This is why McNeil, the kid, Lee McNeil, is it? With the Lions, who's, what I'm told, has done really, they're really happy with him.
Oh, are they? Okay, good.
Yeah, he's just a better fit for the run. I mean, Williams has got more explosion in terms of pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is they got caught in it. And Jones, also remember, Jones got – I know you were pretty strong in your comment. Jones got them for the touchdown, but on what's the guy? Jenkins. Elton Jenkins got caught for the hold there, which was questionable.
God, what a ridiculous holding.
You were very hard.
Jesus. I still can't believe it.
I know. I mean, but see, one person said to me, he goes, you got to understand, though, you got to – Lane Johnson, this is a really good nugget. Lane Johnson is the master of letting go of your hand so you don't get called for holding. He's like elite at it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I know this, I got to look for this when I watch the tape. Because apparently it's like, if you hold on for 3 seconds or 4 seconds, they're going to call you. Apparently he's like he releases after a second and a half. He's like really good at it. I don't know how he figured this out, but he's elite at it. So folks, if you watch the All-22 at NFL.com, it's on the NFL Plus, it's called, I'm now going to look for this. I was not aware of this, so I'm going to start looking at this. But
that one, I mean, he was driving his man. I mean, this is a run play, and he's driving him back. Jenkins. And then, you know, out leverages him to the point where he falls on top of him. He was driving him to the ground first.
It's a great block. I know. When you roll over, it's so inconsistent. You know how the linemen say you could call holding on every play? It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's the inconsistency. There's a running joke around the NFL. It's like with measurements. It's a multi billion dollar business, but it's like they're scoring by hand.
I know, right?
Why don't you digitize the measurements of for first downs, and then also isn't Major League Baseball now going to go to what are they going to do with balls and strikes now? Are they going to do it more?
I don't think they're going to robots yet, right? Is that what you're talking about? Like the robot humps?
What are they going to do, which started the minor leagues this past season? Pitch clock. Okay. But try to move to the 21st century, folks. Could you just move? I mean, really, it's like, it's just so inconsistent with the I know people cannot stand when the referees are calling too many flags. I'm not saying they're wrong, but some are so questionable. Be consistent with it. That's all you're looking for.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else on run defense, though? I mean, I don't think things are just going to change overnight. It's going to be a flaw that they've got.
5.05 yards per carry to running backs in this past game. I understand they got them in the four-man front. I get it. They got them. It wasn't alarming as the first series against Indy, and then Washington didn't gash them because it's the inability to get off of the inability to get off in third down as they did, whether it's the pass or the run, the lead up to the third down in the Washington game, they gave up too many 3, 4, 5, and 6 yard runs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. You can't just dismiss it. And then the DBs, the deflection by Slay, he read it perfectly, deflected up in the air. So Josiah Scott got the play.
Yep.
And then the DBs got caught on the crosser to Watson for the touchdown. And I know Gannon, I give him credit. He's right. They should have, when you're up by 14, play coverage. They didn't. He was aggressive on it. I know you said on the Fanatic, people are going to kill him over it, they're going to find some way that the people that hate Gannon who just won't or relentless on him, they're going to find a way to blame him for that one.
Yeah. What was it? A 5-man rush?
Yeah, whatever. But whatever it was. They gave up some plays, obviously, in the past game. Mm-hmm. They gave up a screen. The funny thing is Tennessee plays completely differently. It's so different. We'll get into this Friday.
Oh, it's going to be Derrick Henry for 3, Derrick Henry for 5, Derrick Henry for 2, Derrick Henry for 8.
By the way, they've never really done this before. They use him in the screen game, and his screen catches are going long. Like, he's had some great screens this season.
That means he must have some pretty good blocking in front of it, because it's not like he just catches the ball and heads upfield.
Yeah,
and...
but he's a locomotive, man. And I'm telling you, you get him turned. He can't go anywhere when he gets turned. But that's another story. That'll be for Friday morning show. But this was this is one of the most interesting games of the season. I would say that.
Yeah, I know Q&A, and again, check it out. They sort of pointed out. They took a look at Reed Blankenship and said, yes, he had, it was really smart interception he had. He baited Aaron Rodgers to throw a ball and then got a good jump on it. But there were obvious things that he did that you would expect from a rookie free agent who is making his first, I mean, he had been on the field before, but first extended time. So they're going to have to coach him up pretty quickly here for this Tennessee game, because, you know, Tennessee is, again, they're going to pick and choose when they put the ball in the air. And Mike Vrabel, smart. Todd Downing's their offensive coordinator, smart guy. They'll find some opportunities to throw on Blankenship if they can, you know, and they'll lull you into run, and then bam, because you've seen Treylon Burks sort of come on here a little bit the last 2 weeks.
Well, guess what? They did that in Green Bay when Burks' first big game. They found a matchup. This is when they moved. This is the game where Rudy Ford had to play, started playing a lot, and they moved Douglas out. They moved Douglas outside and Savage into nickel first time, and it didn't work. and Titans got him on it. They saw some stuff and they adjusted. So yeah, that's a fascinating game. And oh, by the way, one more thing. So absolutely, the Eagles could be flexed too. So the rule about you can only be on primetime five times, that's out the door. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe this, but I checked. It was in the Chargers. I'm on their email list. Can you believe the Chargers are on primetime seven times this season?
I can't for so many reasons. One, they're not that their record's not that good. Yeah. Two, their fan base isn't that big. I would think the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants,
it's crazy. Right.
The Chargers, it's almost because they've been playing other teams that are either in big markets or have a lot of hype.
But you can guarantee. Well, I shouldn't say that. Close to guarantee because the game now, when the great Howard Katz, I know Howard a little bit, I've talked, he puts the schedule together.
Yeah.
I always talked to Howard about this, about how they would, it's sort of, you have to project who the good teams are going to be.
Right.
Well, when they put the schedule together, I think the Chargers and Rams would be a great game for week 17 on a.
That's true. That's fair. I understood why the Chargers were on primetime a lot to start because, again, I thought that they were going to the Super Bowl going into the year. They brought in
the Rams or the Chargers?
I predict the Chargers. I predicted the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
I remember that. Okay.
They brought in Khalil Mack. I thought Rashawn Slater had a great rookie year last year. They had brought in. Somebody else. Who am I? J.C. Jackson. Yeah. Derwin James was healthy. I mean, I thought they had a great 53, man. But I always forget the Chargers are going to charger and have like a billion injuries. And that's what they've had. Oh, Keenan Allen. He's been hurt all year. I really thought that they were going to be a good team. But and Justin Herbert, of course.
I'm hoping, not that I want to have another Eagles game at night, but that Ram Charger game, there's no way that'll be 820 unless it's week 17. It's not week 18. But it's just ridiculous. The Chargers getting seven primetime games. That's got to be flexed out. That cannot be.
Seven's a little much. 17 weeks. That's crazy.
Every rule, so many things have been changed because of the pandemic and the NFL now. And obviously, the networks have a lot of say in it because they're paying. By the way, 23 is the cap's going to go way up because it's the first year that the 100 million, 100 billion. TV money?
Yeah, Amazon money kicking in now.
Yeah, all of it, yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah, so this, because the Eagles are so elite, would it shock you if they got flexed to a night game? Late?
No.
Very late, obviously, but not at all, right?
Not at all. All right, we will have more of this Eagles-Titans game on Friday when we preview it from A to Z, and then, of course, on Sunday again in the pregame show. So look forward to reconvening in just a couple of days to go over what's a pretty interesting game. Yep. I think shaping up to be between the Eagles and Titans, and hopefully, and by Friday, we should have a little bit more concrete information and analysis on the injury situation facing the Eagles. That will do it for this episode of Inside the Birds, the leading podcast in Eagles intel. As always, we thank all of you listeners for flying with us inside the birds.